going to shift gears a little bit now. One of the driving factors in all of this is ET and everything. So Bruce has been Bruce Kimball, and I'll point out one of the things in AgMIP is that it is a community, and you see on a lot of these papers, if you start looking at the abstract, the plethora of authors that are involved in this. So Bruce.
Thank you, Jerry. Welcome, everybody. As you said, there are a lot of people here, but I'll give you briefly a little bit of history. 2 years ago, Ken Booty, Jerry Hatfield, Wajah Hoosier, Claudia Stockel came up to me and twisted my arm and said, would you be interested in being the point person on a intercomparison study of models to see how well they do evapotranspiration? And the reason they did that was they had just finished an intercomparison study with maize, looking mostly at yield, and they had observed that they predicted there were a big range of predicted evapotranspiration that was simulated, but they didn't have any real data to compare it against. And Jerry Hatfield had a data set, and so anyway, why they thought we really should just really focus on evapotranspiration and see if we can improve the models by getting that water use done more correctly. This is a couple of slides from Jerry here showing the field in Ames, Iowa. There's their eddy covariance tower that was measuring the evapotranspiration. There's another mass that's getting some of the ancillary air temperature and other data like that. I visited the site myself once, and this isn't maize, but you can see it's soybeans. They were flopping back and forth between two fields doing maize and soybean all along. This is a map of the area. There's one field here, and then the other one is over here. And so maize was measured every year, but it went back and forth between this field and this one. So we started what was called the blind test. The modelers were sent out data on the weather, the management that was done, planting dates, and so forth, and something about the development of the crop. And this is what came back. Now, 2011 was what was considered to be a typical rainfall season. You can see there's a little bit of gap there in amount of rainfall, but anyway, the aqua colored stuff down here is the rainfall through the course of the season. And then here is the evapotranspiration rate, millimeters per day, that was coming from all of these different models. And this is days after planting. The black is the observed, and the white is the median of all those. But anyway, you can see that there are some models like this one in yellow that really was predicting a lot of E from the soil at the beginning of the season. Apparently it crashed and there wasn't any water left at this point, so very little T later on. Here's a red one that was really high at the end of the season. So anyway, there's a huge range in the evapotranspiration rates that were coming from all these models. By the way, if you're looking at your program, it says 31 models, but two of them dropped out. So the data I'm going to be presenting from here on are from 29 models instead of 31, just so you know. Anyway, went through and I did box plots for each of the different days. And on these, the green and then the bottom is a 25% of the models, and the top is 75%. The bottom whisker is 5%. The top is 95% of the models. The dots are outliers. And then the blue curve, the blue that's connecting here, happens to be the median. And the orange, reddish orange, is the actual observed. And you can see that in this initial blind phase one that wasn't doing too bad through here, but still there's just this huge range. Get over to here in this area where the median is still pretty far from the observed. Now let's move on to I got too many talks doing. Okay, I took out some slides is what it is. Anyway, what I jumped to here is showing you what happened then all the way as we went through all four of the different phases here. And I'm showing you the progression as to how well the median did as we went from phase one, which was blind, phase two, in which they were given the leaf area values for all of the 8 years, phase three, they were given all of the data, including evapotranspiration and yield for the typical year 2011, and phase four, where they're giving all the data for all the years. Okay? So you can see that the median did pretty well as we went through the year. And then we get over in this area right through here, and you can see that there's improvement as they got more information. There's blind, they got the leaf area, they got the data for 2011, and then up here. So not doing too bad for the median. Now then, let's move on to 2012. That happened to be the driest year that these studies were done. And there's a long period right in through here where there was very little rainfall. And if you, and then here's this big scatter plot amongst all the different models that were coming in. And you can see the white median down here is quite a bit lower than the black observed in this particular plot. And if we go to the box plots, you can kind of see what's going on there too. Here's the range of the boxes here. There's the median down there, and here's the observed way up here during the real dry spell in through here. And again, the huge scatter amongst the very lowest and the very highest predictions. And then we'll skip then to looking at all the different medians as we go from through the different phases. And you can see here on the blind one, where in the middle of the dry spell, it's way down here. You got a little more information, it's better. And then up here, and then in phase four, it got this high. Let me tell you a little more information about phase four and something else different there. It became kind of obvious that there had to be a little more water there from a water table. And at the beginning, when we started all this, we said we'll make the assumption that at the beginning of the season, the soil is all at field capacity. So a caveat on this is when we got to phase four, we said, okay, now there's tile drains at 150 centimeters. We're pretty sure it's saturated below that. And so if you can handle a water table, go ahead and do it. So we got to add that caveat and do it. So that's one of the improvements that's going on here between phases three and phase four. But even so, the models had a little trouble handling that particular dry season. Not sure if I need to show this to you at all, but anyway, there are different ways of trying to assess how well models are doing. I chose this one. It's called Following Gauch et al. In 2003, where we compute the mean squared deviation. Now, there are three kind of ways that models can differ from what the observations are. They can be really off by their averages not being right, so that's called a standard bias. The slope can be wrong, or it could be non-unity. So here's the slope, and there's the equation for calculating this NU value. And there can be a lot of scatter. So that's a lack of correlation. And that, using, there's the correlation coefficient. Well, it turns out if you calculate the mean standard deviation from this, it turns out that it's the sum of this standard bias, non-unity, and lack of correlation. So if here's a data set, you can see where there's a lot of stuff over here. This is simulated down here, measured over here. It's way off. And then here's a pretty good one here. This is about as good as I ever saw. But then if you calculate the mean squared difference and break it up, why, in this first data set, the standard bias is really large, and especially compared to the second case, the lack of correlation is comparable in the other two as well. So anyway, that's what I chose to do the comparison amongst models. I like the being able to see the three different ways. The disadvantage, it doesn't go nicely from 0 to 1 or something like that. Okay. I also broke up the data set into the first 40 days, in which the soil E would be dominant. And so this is what's showing here. This is just the first 40 days after planting. And coming in here in phase one, which is blind, you can see the green dots here of what's going on. Phase two, some improvement in a lot of them. It's curious in this particular model why these people got the leaf area data and then they did worse. This one here got the additional information and said I'm standing pat and stayed right there. This one went from here clear down to here. So that's kind of what's going on. Now here's the median. Not much change all the way through as we went from one to another in the different phases. And so what you see, I guess I should have said this before, phase four, then I broke it up amongst the different bias, non-unity of slope, and lack of correlation. And you can see most of the changes is in the standard bias and in the non-unity of slope as we go through here. And the lack of correlation kind of stays pretty much the same. So that's kind of inherent of what's going on. How am I doing here?
2 minutes left.
That's all. Okay. Got to hurry. Here's 2011 for the time of when transpiration was greatest. And you can see that the green was all over the place here, really high. Then when they got the leaf area information, there was a big improvement. If we start looking at the different models, you can see that this is then the first 40 days and then mid-season. There's one expert nitrogen, one that's done doing very well. The M is the median, and it's pretty well here. So there are some models that are doing pretty well. I'm going to skip some slides and look at the total difference then for the whole season. And that's what that slide looks like, kind of around here. And then let's look at the yield. You can see that with the yield, the green ones are up here, and we're given more information. It gets down here better. Then if we go to this last slide that I'm going to show you, this is how the different models did here. And lo and behold, a lot of them are doing better than what the median was even. This aqua yield one is pretty good. Anyway, there are some of the models that are doing well, but there's not a lot of overlap between getting ET right and gritting the grain yield right, at least for the best ones. But there are some that are coming in second and third that are doing pretty well. So conclusions, ET values varied a lot, but even after getting a lot of information, there's still a lot of variation. The third and fourth best models for predicting yield were the second and third of predicting seasonal ET, and they're better than median. So anyway, median does pretty good, but it's not a something that you're going to want to go out and use very much here. And so where I am now is trying to sort out what are the best models and try to get a paper written from all of this, and I guess I'm out of time.